I'm Steve Gutterman, and my guest this week is RFERL senior correspondent Robert Colson. Welcome, Rob. Thanks for being on the show.
Thanks for having me, Steve.
All right. It's no coincidence that Rob's joining me today because I want to talk about an issue that he's been looking at for an upcoming story. Essentially, what's next for the Russian opposition? You know, Russia just held local and regional elections on September 8th. The Kremlin's candidates did well in some of them, the governor's elections. They swept those amid allegations of substantial fraud. But they did quite badly in the election to the Moscow City Duma. It's a bit complicated because United Russia candidates did not run as United Russia candidates because the party is not popular. But in essence, the party, United Russia, the ruling party, saw its majority in the Moscow legislature cut drastically, even though real opposition and independent would-be candidates were barred from the ballot en masse. And Alexei Navalny is calling his smart voting tactic or his strategy a success. That was the strategy where Navalny and his supporters backed and called on voters to cast their ballots for the candidates on the ballot who had the best chances of beating the candidates associated with United Russia. Rob, what would you say might be the main takeaway from these elections for opponents of President Vladimir Putin and the Kremlin? And how do you see prospects for the opposition in the coming months and next few years?
Well, it's really hard to talk about this, Steve, because, I mean, it's on the one hand, it was a significant event, especially the Moscow elections. We have now Yabloko, four Yabloko deputies in the Moscow Duma, which is a really significant event. They're truly independent deputies, anti-Putinist deputies.
Mm-hmm.
It's been many years since that was the case. On the other hand, the Moscow City Duma is a very thin reed to be hanging the hopes of the political opposition on. It doesn't really have much power. The United Russia deputies maintain their majority, even though it's reduced. And they've already expressed a willingness to change the rules of the Moscow State City Duma for their convenience. So if the independent deputies try to use it as a platform for any genuinely opposition activity, there's a willingness by the United Russia deputies to shut that down already expressed. I think the main takeaway from the elections for the opposition, though, is the role that Navalny played and the smart voting strategy. Traditionally, in Russian elections, the opposition has always been divided. Do we participate? Do we not participate? Do we vote? Do we run? All these things. And they've never come to any consensus on that. And this was the first time, I think, where one figure was able to set a strategy and everybody more or less decided to adopt it. That being said, the problem is that there's no right answer to that question when in elections that are so heavily managed. By not participating, you lose, and by participating, you also lose.
Right.
So that doesn't really matter. But I think that since the elections, Navalny's anti-corruption foundation has endured massive pressure and searches across the country, seizures of its computer equipment and everything. I think the Kremlin has taken the lesson that Navalny is the sole leader, the charismatic, inspirational leader of the opposition, and his position will have to be weakened before the Duma elections in 2021.
Yeah, it's interesting. I mean, it seems like you're saying that, obviously the Kremlin has been sort of dealing with Navalny for years now in various ways. It seems like a possibility that these elections and the smart voting strategy has kind of, as you say, been a lesson for the Kremlin and they have already taken measures to try to make sure, I guess, that this kind of thing doesn't happen maybe in the parliamentary elections. I guess one question, well, actually specifically, you mentioned a way for the United Russia deputies in the Moscow City Duma to kind of shut down opposition initiatives. Could you just explain that a little bit more about how they would change the rules to make that easier?
Well, For example, the example that's already out there is that according to the rules of the Moscow City Duma, the independent deputies are not allowed to form a faction.
Uh-huh.
And that is now suddenly a problem for the United Russia deputies, who all technically are independent. So they've already said that they're going to change that rule and allow themselves to form a faction, a United Russia faction, as a matter of fact. So that shows the power that they have. Now, there are certain privileges that Moscow City Duma deputies have. The head of the Moscow police has to report to the Duma once a year and come and make an appearance. In the past, there was one mildly independent deputy, Yelena Shuvalova, and whenever she tried to question the police, they shut her down.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't show it on TV. Certainly none of her questions were ever reported, that sort of thing. Now, it's certainly possible that the United Russia majority could suddenly decide that the police chief can submit a written report or something like that. They don't need to have these questions at all.
Right.
Another interesting thing about the position that the independent deputies have now is that they won all three of the districts in the central district of Moscow.
Mm-hmm.
So technically, they have the right to hold rallies of their supporters and meetings with voters and that sort of thing in the center of the city. This could be a mask for, theoretically, this could be a mask for demonstrations. They shouldn't need to get permission anymore to have demonstrations if they're having meetings between deputies and their constituents.
Right.
That's a rule that the new United Russia majority could seek to change.
Mm-hmm.
That sort of thing.
Well, these all raise an interesting question also about kind of how these the deputies elected in part with the help of smart voting will behave in terms of politics. I guess Yabloko is one thing. So I guess basically two questions I have that may be hard to answer is, is there a chance that these deputies in the Moscow City Duma and anyone elected elsewhere with sort of the help of smart voting, aren't they okay? It's a victory for Navalny and smart voting to have United Russia politicians voted out or not succeed, but where's the guarantee that the communist or LDPR deputy, for instance, or even the Yabloko is going to, is going to actually sort of oppose the Kremlin in the State Duma. These parties often vote along with the Kremlin, especially LDPR, I believe. So it's just a question of, is this going to change the way these other parties act? Like, maybe it's a self-fulfilling prophecy where, okay, yeah, we actually are in the opposition, and that could maybe give some energy to the opposition and blur the lines between what they call the systemic and non-systemic. So, I don't know. That's just one question out there. And I guess the other more broadly is, can, especially with the Kremlin cracking down more on Navalny now and on his, his anti-corruption initiative, what are the chances that the smart voting can sort of even take place and be successful in the Duma elections, State Duma elections in 2021?
Well, that's two questions, and they're both really good. The one about the systemic and non-systemic opposition, it's certainly up in the air, and I wouldn't be overly optimistic. The new makeup of the Moscow City Duma has 13 communist deputies and 3 from a Just Russia. So the opposition is 20 deputies out of 45.
Mm-hmm.
Some of the communist deputies have signed a statement together with some of the Yabloko deputies calling for an end to the sort of Moscow case, that is to say all the arrests and detentions and court trials that are pending stemming from the protests of this election,
mm-hmm.
which is definitely a positive sign. And a lot of the analysts that I've been reading and talking to have been saying that affecting the process of these investigations and trials of the Moscow protests could be one of the main areas that the newly emboldened opposition in the Duma could affect.
Mm-hmm.
Ironically, you know, in order to get some independent deputies onto the Duma, you have to have these protests and people arrested. And then once you get some deputies, the main thing that they can do is help these people get out of jail.
Right.
it's a strange thing. On the other hand, some of the other deputies, especially from Just Russia, have already clearly lined up and said, you know, they didn't understand what smart voting was. It didn't help them at all. Mm-hmm. They think the police handled things fine, and they love Sobyanin. So they clearly are going to continue to play the systemic role. Another irony of the Russian political system is that some analysts are saying, well, maybe one of these communist deputies or a couple of them will want to use their new power and their new alliance with the other non-United Russia deputies to promote their own political careers, to raise their own profiles, and with the hopes of going on to something better. But in the Putinist system, of course, the main way of moving on to something better is actually to keep a low profile personally and to do what the Kremlin, what the mayor's office tells you to do,
right,
and pave your career path that way.
Mm-hmm.
So ambitious deputies have a choice. And so it's very unclear what will happen.
Mm-hmm.
The important thing to remember, though, is that United Russia does still have the 25-seat majority. And even if all of the non-United Russia deputies voted in lockstep all the time, you know, they'd be very limited in what they can do.
Right. Okay. And just, I guess, sorry to, you know, press you, but I guess on the issue of the state Duma elections, you know, of course, there could be changes even in the political system between now and then. I mean, there was smart voting elsewhere outside of Moscow. Do you see it having an effect or you know, in the Duma elections?
Well, local elections are always a sort of trial run for national elections and for the Kremlin, and they try out new strategies and they think about what's going to work. One of the ideas that have been floating around for the Duma elections is reducing the number of party-less candidates and increasing the number of single-mandate district candidates. You may remember that when Putin was establishing the power vertical, they got rid of all the single-mandate districts and they went by party vote. The United Russia got a constitutional majority and made constitutional changes, that sort of thing.
Right.
Now they're thinking maybe they'll go the other way because United Russia's brand is so weak. This development of the smart voting tactic and the really good quality charismatic candidates that the opposition was able to put forward all over the country may give the Kremlin pause to think about that strategy again, because it would definitely give Navalny a lever for influencing the elections much more and make managing the national elections much more difficult if you have to do it on a district-by-district basis over the whole country. To get back to the lessons that the opposition is learning from this elections, I think we need to think about the negative lessons that they learned. And one of them is that the Central Election Commission and the local election commissions are firmly under the Kremlin's control. They did everything that the authorities could have wanted them to do, and they acted like it was a democratic process. So that
right.
that mechanism of control is firmly working for the Kremlin. Another is the police. The police also, I mean, you see the videos of policemen turning their backs while the election monitors are being beaten and that sort of thing.
Right.
Ballots are being stuffed. That is continuing, and the Kremlin seemingly can completely count on the oppressive power of the police and is willing to use it. So these are lessons that the opposition has to take into account. They can't say, oh, the Kremlin might be thinking that now is the time for loosening up on controls.
Right, exactly. I mean, that video you mentioned of the election observer being punched hard and then the police and election officials just ignoring it in St. Petersburg, I mean, it kind of says a lot. In a short video, says a lot about the situation, I think. Well, those are excellent points, Rob. Thanks very much. I think we'll wrap it up there. Thanks a lot for joining me, Robert Coulson.
Thanks for having me again. I'll get to work on my article.
All right, great. I'll be back next week with the next edition. Meanwhile, please keep an eye out on Friday for The Week in Russia, my newsletter about recent events and what they might mean going forward. Thanks for listening.